Good morning. Many years ago, there was a little girl by the name of Eloisa. And Eloisa was born in the beautiful country of Cuba during the Great Depression. So Eloisa and her mommy and daddy and her brothers and sisters didn't have a lot of money. So whatever they had to make go a long, long ways. They became very resourceful people. For example, they would find brand new uses for old bottles and boxes. And broken clothespins and scraps of cloth were turned into cute little dollies for little girls. They loved playing with their clothespin dollies. And then there were the silk threads that were used in the old cement bags. Mama would crochet those into beautiful bedspreads and shawls that the girls loved to wear. They learned how to make everything go a long ways. Now, one of the things they especially used was their property, their space, their ground. And Papa turned their whole courtyard into a beautiful garden. He filled it with mangoes and orchids and chili peppers. It was a wonderful life they had together, even though they didn't have much money. Well, Eloisa grew up, and one day she met an American photographer that she fell in love with. They got married, and they moved to Los Angeles and started a family of their own. And as you might expect, Eloisa kept going with her thrifty ways. Why, she would take old bleach bottles, and she would clean them up and cut holes in them to make birdhouses out of them or planter boxes. She would take old balls of thread and create beautiful works of embroidery. She would take scraps of cloth and turn them into nice warm quilts. And as you might expect, Eloisa loved to work in her garden. Now, her backyard there in Los Angeles was sloped, so she terraced the whole thing off. And the ground was hard and clay, so she worked it and put lots of fertilizer into it so that it would work. And she filled her backyard with beautiful things like avocado and almond and guava trees. She filled it with rose bushes and nasturtiums and cymbidium orchids. It was beautiful. But, you know, day by day, as Eloisa would be working in her garden, she'd be out digging in the soil, and she would be pulling away at the soil, and she'd pull up treasures that she didn't expect to see. She pulled up treasures like little soldiers with their weapons, and she pulled out her handkerchief, and she lovingly wiped the dust off them, wiped the mud off of them, and she had an old shoebox. She would tuck them into her shoebox and save it away. Other days, she'd be digging away, and she might find an old truck or tractor that you know, little boys once upon a time had played with there in the backyard. She'd take her handkerchief, and she'd wipe the dust off of that and stick that in her box. Other days, there were old cracked marbles that she dug up out of the soil, and she'd take her handkerchief and wipe the mud off of that and stick it into her box. And then she took the box into the house, and on a shelf high above the washing machine, she stuffed it up there. And her kids would say to her, "Mama, why are you saving all that junk? Doesn't make any sense. It's trash. It's junk. Get rid of it." And Mama would smile real big, and she said, "You know what? Once upon a time, there were other boys and girls that were growing up in this house, and someday they just might want their treasures back." Well, one day, many, many years later, a middle-aged man knocked at the front door, and he said, "Hi, my name is Monty, and I grew up in this house. I'm in town for my father's funeral, and I'm feeling kind of nostalgic, and I'm wondering, would it be okay if I took a look at the old place?" And Eloisa said, "Oh, yes, of course. Please come on in." And as he was taking a seat there in the living room, she said, "Wait just one minute. I think I have something that belongs to you." She ran into the laundry room and reached up to that shelf above the washing machine, and she pulled down her old shoebox. She walked into the living room and handed it to Monty, and she said, "Here, I think this belongs to you." Well, a puzzled look came across his face. He didn't know what to expect, but he tipped back the lid, and there were the treasures from his boyhood. The toy soldiers with their weapons, the trucks, the marbles. And he gasped in surprise. He had no idea this would ever happen to him. And through his tears, all he could say was, "Thank you. Thank you so much." And Eloisa, All she could do was smile because she knew that someday somebody was going to need those treasures again. Well, you know, boys and girls and moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, we know that the Bible is a beautiful garden, isn't it? And in that garden, there are treasures. And when you dig through the soil of Scripture, you discover those beautiful treasures. As was read for us just a few minutes ago, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." You see, the Bible is a treasure box, isn't it? It contains God's truth. He tells us His truth. He tells us how to face our problems honestly. He tells us how to get it right. And God tells us how to have a great relationship with Jesus. This is God's book for us. And there's so many treasures in the Bible I really enjoy. I want to talk about four of them briefly. The first treasure that I particularly appreciate in the Bible are the Bible stories. I mean, everybody likes a story. I don't care how old you might get. Everyone enjoys a good story, and the very best stories you'll find anywhere are in the Bible. These are stories of real boys and girls, real men and women who had families, who had jobs, who had challenges to face in their lives. These are people who had a very special friendship with Jesus. And every time I read their stories, I'm inspired and I'm encouraged. My favorite Bible story is that of Joseph. And the reason why I like this story, always have, is that Joseph had a lot of hard times in his life. And God took all those hard times and used them to build a bright future for him. And he ended up in a very good spot. And that's an encouragement to me, because sometimes life is hard, and I need to be reminded that God's going to bring it all together. Well, I'm going to open up the floor here. We're going to have an open mic time, and I'd like you to just share with us what your favorite Bible story is and why it's your favorite Bible story. I'd like you to do it in just one or two sentences so that we have enough time for several people to contribute. But if you'd like to share with us what your favorite Bible story is or one of your favorite Bible stories and why in just a few, one or two sentences, raise your hand. We got Doc down here, and we'll bring a mic to you.
My favorite Bible study is the prodigal son, because I'm a prodigal son. I've come back to Jesus, and it's nice to be back home.
Great, thank you. Someone else, raise your hand over here. Caleb, good. We got kids doing this too. You want to be next?
Okay. My favorite Bible story is David, because there's a whole bunch of adventures in his life.
Thank you, Benjamin. What's your favorite Bible story and why? Put it up to your mouth so we can hear you. Okay, buddy. Thanks.
Noah and the Ark is because God saved them.
Good, good story. Anyone else? A kid, an adult? Oh, we got a grandma back here. Oh, you don't want that label today?
I'll take it. My favorite Bible story is the story of Joseph. It's the story of how people come back together, how God works all things for good to those that love him and for his purposes. And when Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, I lose it.
Yeah, I do too. We got one back here, another one over here. Oh, yes, Jacob.
Joshua and the Battle of Jericho.
Why do you like that story so much?
I don't know.
But you still like it. Okay. We got a grandpa back over here.
Mine's Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, because here were three men that stood for God, who prayed, who did the right thing. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, and there was a fourth one with them who's with us always, Jesus Christ, and that all it did was burn their bonds, and they were released, and it was a miracle. That's been one of my favorite stories.
Thank you. Over here, is it Dustin?
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite Bible study?
Daniel.
Mine too. Why do you like the story of Daniel?
Because God saved him.
Good. Anybody else? Anyone over here? Oh, we got a couple over here. We got a mom and we got a couple little boys. Let's take the boys on, and then we'll go back over here.
I like Daniel because he had faith in God that he would save him from the lions.
Great. Thanks.
I like David because David had faith and trust in God because he was fighting Goliath.
Okay, we'll take one more back here. Oh, yes, go ahead.
Job.
Okay, why do you like the story of Job?
I don't know.
Okay, pass it to the lady behind you. She's going to be our last one on this round here.
Samuel, because it just shows that it doesn't matter how old you are, God can still use you.
That's right. And some of us are getting old and we still want to be used, don't we? Oh, yes, no matter how old or young we might be. We're going to get some more here, so give us a moment. The second treasure I really love to see in the Bible are the Bible promises. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of Bible promises, aren't there? I mean, God has promised to always be with us. He has promised to surround us with His love, to take care of us, to save us, to see us through. I love the promises of God because sometimes life gets hard for me and I need all the encouragement that I can get. I think my very favorite promise in the Bible is Philippians 1:6, where it says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." The reason why I love this verse is because I know God has started a good work in my life, and he can be trusted to get the job done on time so that I can go home and spend eternity with him. So, you folks have Bible promises that are important to you too, that are treasures for your heart. So let's share those. Boys and girls, teens, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas. Let's start with Debbie over here. A Bible promise that means a lot to you, and then in a sentence, tell us why. And then Valerie, I think, will be next over here.
Romans 8:38-39. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any power can separate us from the love of God." And that's self-explanatory. Nothing can separate us from God's love.
Thank you. Okay, Valerie, I think you're next.
Well, my favorite Bible story is the story of Queen Esther. And part of that is because she asked friends to help pray for her so that she could be used by God. And when you ask, you shall receive.
Thank you. I think Amy's got one down here. Bible promises that are of value to you. Hold on, Doc.
Isaiah 40:11 says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." And that's my favorite because motherhood, there is nothing like motherhood.
Yes.
And only God makes it possible.
I think you're feeling it these days, aren't you? Margaret.
Mark 11:24.
Could you put it up to your close to your mouth so we can hear you? Thank you.
"Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them."
Thank you. Over here, we've got a couple of people who are ready to share their favorite promises. Christina's one, Doc is another. If you want to share one, just raise your hand and we'll know. Oh, we'll get to you. Okay, go ahead, Doc.
Mine?
Yes.
I like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's one of the great promises.
That's a great one. Why don't you pass that down to Christina, and then we'll get to our friend near the back there.
I've always liked Psalm 73:26. It says, "Though my flesh and my heart may fail, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever."
Thank you. Yes.
Well, my favorite promise is also my favorite Bible story, the one that hasn't been fulfilled yet. This same Jesus that you see go into heaven will come back in the same manner.
That is the greatest promise of all. Okay, Taryn over here, and then Sandy, and I think that will wrap up this part of it. Taryn, you want to go first? Sure. We're glad you're here, Taryn.
I'm glad I'm here, too. I like the promise in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I am writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
And why is that a great encouragement to you?
Because you sin almost like every moment of your life sometimes. It's just like every thought. And then it's just like I know that I have an advocate in Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Sandy, take the last one with this round.
My very, very favorite is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And believe you me, I certainly believe in that.
Thank you. There's another treasure that I find in the Bible, and that is guidance for each day. There are practical life lessons that are learned in Scripture. I'll tell you, when I read my Bible, I learn how to love God better. I learn how to take care of my family better. I learn how to do my work better. Life is always better when I'm following the lessons found in the Bible. Right now, in my morning time with Jesus, I'm studying through the Gospel of Mark. And a few days ago, I was reading in Mark 6 how Jesus went to his home church and he got up to speak, and the people didn't want to listen to him. And as a result, it tells us that Jesus was not able to work very many miracles there. And that one came home to my heart because I suddenly realized that if I want miracles in my life, I better listen to Jesus. Now, you folks have been spending time with Jesus morning by morning as well. Just think through the last week, 2 weeks, what's an important life lesson that you've learned from your study of the Scriptures? We're going to open up the mic for that as well. Anyone here got a life lesson they've learned in the last week or two in there? Ilona, right there.
If I get up and run into my day, nothing goes right. If I start my day with Jesus, everything goes right.
Great lesson. Thank you. Someone else, something that's come up out of your time with Jesus and the Word here that has really talked to you about real life. Somebody got it? Karen.
I've been listening to a series about parenting. And the scripture that is involved in the parenting is that, number one, we are all sinners. We are all in need of a Savior. And that all correction and anything that God does for us as parents and for the parents to their children is because we are all in need of a Savior and we are all going to sin. And that comfort has come to me because I have grandchildren, and I have friends that are dealing with difficult children. And when we approach it that way, it's not because mommy said so. It's because God said so.
Thank you. Anyone else got something you've learned? Yes, Stacy down here. I was visiting with someone the other day, and they were talking about you, Stacy. You know how they described you?
Hopefully good.
As a firecracker.
Oh, no. The lesson that I learned was just with our youngest son is learning to sleep in a toddler bed, and it's not a very easy task, and he was having trouble sleep the other night, and finally I gave him a lantern to sleep with because he was scared of the dark, and it just made me think of Jesus being the light of the world, and once my son had that lantern, he went straight to sleep with no problems, and it just made me think, gosh, you know, I just have to keep my focus that Jesus is the light of the world, and with that light, I can get through anything.
Thank you. One more thing here. This is the best treasure of all in the Bible, and that is, in the Bible, we meet Jesus. Everywhere you turn in the Scripture, you can meet Jesus. Everywhere we go, every verse, every chapter leads us to Jesus. And as soon as we can get this screen up, we're going to show you a video clip and you'll know what I'm talking about. Everywhere we go in the Bible, we can meet Jesus, have a conversation with him, and have our lives impacted by his healing touch.
Genesis, Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is our high priest. In Numbers, he is the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he is the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he is the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he is our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he is our reigning king. In Ezra, he is the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, he is our Mordecai. In Job, he is our ever-living redeemer. In Psalms, he is our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom. In Song of Solomon, he is our loving bridegroom. In Isaiah, he is the Prince of Peace. Jeremiah, he is our righteous branch. In Lamentations, he is our weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he is the fourth man in life's fiery furnace. In Hosea, he is the faithful husband forever married to the backslider. In Joel, he is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and fire. In Amos, he is our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he is mighty to save. In Jonah, he is our great foreign missionary. In Micah, he is the messenger of beautiful feet. In Nahum, he is the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he is God's evangelist crying, revive thy works in the midst of the years. In Zephaniah, he is our savior. In Haggai, he is the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, he is the fountain opened up in the house of David for sin and uncleanliness. And in Malachi, he is the son of righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. In Matthew, he is the king of the Jews. In Mark, he is the servant. In Luke, he is the son of man, feeling what you feel. In John, he is the son of God. In Acts, he is the savior of the world. In Romans, he is the righteousness of God. In 1 Corinthians, he is the rock, followed as Israel. In 2 Corinthians, he is the triumphant one, giving victory. In Galatians, he is your liberty. He set you free. In Ephesians, he is the head of the church. In Philippians, he is your joy. In Colossians, he is your completeness. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is your hope. In 1 Timothy, he is your faith. In 2 Timothy, he is your stability. In Philemon, he is your benefactor. In Titus, he is truth. In Hebrews, he is your perfection. In James, he is the power behind your faith. In 1 Peter, he is your example. In 2 Peter, he is your purity. In 1 John, he is your life. In 2 John, he is your pattern. In 3 John, he is your motivation. In Jude, he is the foundation of your faith. In Revelation, he is your coming king. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the keeper of creation and the creator of all. He is the architect of the universe and the manager of all times. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. Unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand him. The armies can't defeat him. Schools can't explain him, and the leaders can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. Pharisees couldn't confuse him. The people couldn't hold him. Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. The New Age can't replace him. And Oprah can't explain him away. He is life, love, longevity, and more. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness, and God. He is holy, righteous, mighty, powerful, and pure. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging, and his mind is on me. He is my redeemer. He is my savior. He is my guide. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my comfort. He is my Lord, and he rules my life.
Is our treasure chest, isn't it? The Bible is a whole lot better than an old shoebox filled with dusty old plastic toys and cracked marbles. This is the Word of God. This is God's love letter to us. I'll tell you, I'm glad for the Bible, aren't you? This is the B-I-B-L-E, and I'll tell you, it's the book for me. I'm going to stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. So let's stand up and sing it together.
The B-I-B-L-E is that's book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E.
Let's pray together.
Thank you, God, for the beautiful rain, and please help the flowers grow today, and be with those that are in pain, and please heal those that are in need, and please help those that need help, and please watch over us wherever we go, and please let us learn more about you, and thank you for everything you have made for us, and thank you for the beautiful rain, beautiful weather, and the beautiful trees and water, and thank you for everything you have done for us to keep us safe. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, we thank you for our kids. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our church. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. And we pray that your treasures will sparkle in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.